Okay, so what I'd like to share with you a little bit is my experience in the 10 years I have been sort of connected from somebody who started, basically, I started on my own without having much preparation. So I just, in 97, started emailing and then making contacts with other people. And this has grown into meeting more and more people online and talking to them and joining diverse communities of practice. So this is how I met Alex, and this is why I am in Australia, because thanks to these communities, thanks to this networking, which happened through online, right? And I'm a teacher of English as a foreign language in Brazil, and teaching at the French school, so it doesn't make much sense in a Franco-Brazilian school, so it's three languages there. So one of the communities that teachers of English have started in sort of got together after a course, after presentation, a workshop, and this is called the Webheads in Action. It started basically for teachers of English of the TESOL conference, which is the TESOL Association, which is teachers of English to students of other languages, whatever. And they started giving these workshops, which are free, and they last for 6 weeks. I'm moderating one of these workshops now while I travel with four other moderators around the world. And we are introducing all these new technologies to teachers who are not only teachers of English, but also you have consultants, you have heads of departments, you have different people who join us. So this year, and these workshops are called EVO, Electronic Village Online. And it's a big community of teachers who are interested in spreading out the world and testing, right, new technologies, meeting new people. So this year, there are about 12 sessions that are being offered on different subjects, always involving some kind of technology. And I'm moderating this session called Social Media in ELT. ELT is English language teaching in general. So we are examining how these tools can help us do our things better. And we are using, for the first time, I'm sweating a little bit because we're using Drupal platform. And we're trying to integrate the different things and testing it out. So it's very difficult for teachers to be, they are still starting, many of the teachers are still starting with using technology in the classroom. And I think that there is a big gap between the teachers and the IT department. This is what I have felt most of the time. There is no common language in a certain way. So the IT, I have felt this at school very strongly until I was sort of half accepted when people sort of noticed that I didn't want to take either the place or I was doing something completely different. But I think we need that interface between teachers and IT department, because teachers do not know exactly the terminology, they don't know the word, they know they haven't had this background in technology, and sometimes they want things, the IT department gets very mad or very angry because they have the impression that you're asking for the sky or this is totally impossible. I think that you have also a number of problems. I have faced a number of problems in with the board, with administrators who don't understand what you're doing. So there is a lot of, they need to control everything. And this is why the IT department sometimes and the board doesn't give teachers enough freedom to experiment and to do their thing. So I remember last year I asked for a free line for us, because the argument is always that it's because of security problems, because the admin has marks and payments and so on. So I had suggested that they keep a whole network for them and they just give us a free line with a Linux server and that we could use and experiment with. And well, this was not very well accepted, mostly because they're afraid we are going to do something there. I don't know what. So I feel there is an enormous paradox there, because, I mean, there is a whole wave saying, you know, you have to get accustomed to technology and so on, but it is in the workplace, it is not accepted. Or there are clashes, there is no dialogue. As for open source, I think that I was talking to this student of mine. He is now, his master is going to be about usability, and he's going to try and this is what he says. In open source, you have the teachers are not aware, so departments are not aware, and he would like, at least, he says, there should be more people going to schools and going to universities and showing this. I know in Europe, open source is used in most universities and many schools. In Brazil, it is used by the public sector, but not in private schools. Private schools are all. And even in public schools, sometimes people sort of don't, they switch directly to the other part because there is not enough support or explanation on how this works. So I think there should be, let's say, more perhaps workshops on that and directed at teachers and how to use it. And also, I see many people developing things that are not known, not shown, so I think that if we want to, because it's a wonderful way, it's of having technology in any area, to encourage this, to have more people explaining how it works, giving workshops the same way we are doing now with all kinds of software to teachers, and trying to call also people who are developing and people who have a certain knowledge of a platform or another to meet and then talk to them and say, we need this, right? And we would like this to be developed. So this would be interesting. So I think this does not exist. I mean, it's still very much at the beginning. Any questions? So I'll just put the address here if you things I mentioned. So that's the, if you are, which I mentioned, the series of workshops, they always happen from mid-January to to end of February. They are free, they're open, for any teacher who wants to join. They are at various levels of difficulty, so this is in general for teachers, if you are. And our own workshop this year is called, so the address is if you want to have a look and contact us or make further contact, it's there. Any questions? Yes?
Just two quick ones. What technologies did you find were most useful? Mm-hmm. And when you did start using them and, you know, start having some success, did the IT people start being more accepting of they maintain understanding?
Yeah, I think that the problem started while I was... When I started in 97, the computers were not connected at school. I was doing most of my work at home. And this is what I find more and more with teachers who really take to technology, is that as when they face these problems, they tend to sort of go away from the system and contour the system. So this is what I did. So for about 6 years or 7 years, I was working on my own, doing my own thing. I had all the freedom because nobody knew what I was doing. The moment I started with social media, this means blogs and publishing, then I started publishing outside the school system because they didn't have anything. They didn't even have a homepage. So people started publishing and doing things and expressing themselves. There was no problem whatsoever of content or, let's say, misbehavior on the side of the teacher, of the students. There was one who published a photograph, but then we talked to him, and that was the end of it. But I had problems in, for instance, connecting and networking. These were my main problems. So schools are very much isolated, and they keep everything inside. So what happens when you want to go through the school system and, let's say, connect to other classes? For me, English as a teacher of languages, it is important for me to connect with other students and talk to other students. And this was impossible because of the firewalls, because of all the problems. So I couldn't, for example, use a Skype conference. Every Second Life, not even think about it, right? Because it is very difficult there. I managed even Illuminate and other conference platforms. I had to ask like a week before, and we had to. I had to do it myself because the IT person would say, you know, this is your problem, and I have other work to do. So if you want, I'm giving you here. At least it was that. I'm giving you the password opening the computers, and you install it, right? So it was already some kind of trust in letting me do this, but. I could not repeat it many times because obviously you have to upload things, and every time whatever applet is different, you have to upload into all the computers. He doesn't want to go through his own computer. So it's difficult. It's very difficult when you want to open the school outwards towards the world. Then just emailing and sort of, you know, forums or things which are, but no interactivity, let's say. There is no interactivity at school. Yes?
Any
more
questions? Can you repeat the question?
Because it's okay. So, your question. You recorded that one?
Any more questions?
Oh, okay.
Would you like to explain a bit more about what you're doing in terms of the English language work?
Okay. Yeah. So we started, I have been always working, first started with emailing in 97. So we connected to 9 schools in the United States. At that time, they were mostly students doing classes in IT. They were maybe not very motivated to exchange, collaborating with us. Many teachers were just training their students how to use email. So it was nice on one hand because we had students writing and talking about their life in the United States, but many of the kids were not that involved because they were doing this for, not on my side, but on the other side, they just wrote one line or, hello, I'm here, you know, and this is a very boring IT class. I've put my address. And so, I mean, my students were a bit disappointed because this was a different, they had gone into, they wanted to exchange ideas with the others. But it worked with 2 schools very well, and we continued. I was lucky enough to have 2 classes that followed. So I worked with them for 2 years. And then the second year, a teacher in Sacramento, who was teaching in a rural college. He was my mentor. He was the one who online taught me most of the things I know today to start connecting. And then we planned a trip to the United States. So we went, I took 45 students on a trip for 15 days. We had sponsors at school and so on. So it was a time when Brazil had the dollar was the same at the same level as the US dollar, so it was quite strong. We could do it. Never again. So later on, I started publishing like articles with the students. So they started writing articles, and we started publishing on different platforms. Then this particular platform we were using, which was excellent, just disappeared. Fortunately, they warned us 6 months before, so I retrieved all the content the students had written and sort of archived it. And then I started looking for something, a way to publish, and this is when I discovered blogs in 2003. I didn't know very well how it worked, but I just noticed that they could write, everybody could write, and could be read, and other people could answer, so this was wonderful. And this is how we started, and we started again with projects with other schools around the world. The first year it was, I asked other teachers to come as mystery guests, so they left tips or cues in their post, and the students had to find out where they were from, so they had to ask questions and they had to search the internet and find where these people were and why, and justify their answers by saying how they have found it and why. So this was an activity that took about 3 months, and then they got all involved in it, and then we had a contact from a European class because I had left a message on the European SchoolNet board, and a class from Italy connected, and for almost 7 months we were planning again a trip to Italy. But then it was the difference in the currency. I mean, it was very expensive, so it was the Italians who came and visited us in Brazil for 10 days. So we arranged their trip and they got together. My principal did not understand very well what was going on. He said, I would understand if this was a British school, but I mean, or an Australian school or New Zealand or whatever, but I mean, Italians coming to Brazil to speak English. I said, but then I said, well, it just shows, doesn't it? I mean, mine don't speak Italian, they don't speak Portuguese, and the common language is English, and this is what's happening in most parts of the world. I mean, people just don't, English is not their native language, so they have to communicate. But it was much fun because there were about 5 languages, people trying all kinds of languages to be understood, and it was much fun. So lately I have been working in doing workshops for teachers who want to start a professional development mostly. And I hold once a month, there is another platform called Tapped In. And I have a meeting, an hour meeting, every first Sunday of the month. Where I just have an office in the room and people come and ask questions, and I introduce them if they are interested to what they are interested in publishing, web publishing and open web publishing. And we discuss problems and talk about pedagogy or technology depending on who is there at that particular day. And workshops mostly like the EVO, which are a great way. My first one was in 2005, when I did a workshop for bloggers, it was web blogging, and I had 210 participants for 6 weeks. It was quite an experience, the first time I was doing it, and fortunately I had 2 other moderators who were in different parts of the world. So I had one moderator in Spain and another one in Japan. So we could sort of play a little bit with the hours. We didn't have to be there all the time. Then in 2000, so last year, I had this open web publishing workshop. We had fewer participants because I thought that I wanted to concentrate more on talking, conversations, and issues that come up, and when you have a big number of participants, you tend to be it tends to be a little bit superficial, or it tends to focus only on the technical part, and I wanted more conversations and discussions. So this is what we're doing. Last year we had 70, and this year we're having 60. But they're all blogging, they're all reflecting on their blogs, they're writing about their problems, and this is what really is the technology is for. It's not technology per se, but what it contributes. So it's nice. It's, and the other workshops have about 210. There are workshops with 300 people enrolled, so people from all over the world, from all walks of life, university, secondary schools, primary schools. It's really very interesting.
No, actually, I don't have a question. I'm very impressed with what you're doing. I've been working, as I say, in developing countries, and I think, contrary to what people think, there's actually very little out there for people in isolated places who want to help with English. And I've got a project. I really want to tell you this because we might be able to work together. Project. I'm going to work in Japan any minute, on a project which is going to be supported by the Information Schools of Asia, to try and build a place for kids and teachers who are teaching English as a second language. So I think your idea of having the Italians talking to the Brazilian kids is perfect at the context, although I think you also have the English people. So I think from you there's some very interesting lessons about interaction is so critical.
I participated. I for 5 years I was our school became the, let's say, home base of a Dutch project called This Is Our Time, a time project. It was a project started by in a Dutch school by a biology teacher and another teacher, and it grew. It was because they were part of the associated schools of UNESCO. So they had quite a big networking area with other schools in all kinds of countries, in developing countries in Africa. And as our school was bilingual, we were operating in three languages, in Portuguese, in French, and in English. So we organized, it was an easier project in a way that throughout the whole year we would prepare a topic, which was the topic of the year of UNESCO, and every year obviously they had for aging people, and then we had another theme which was war, 2000 was peace. So we would prepare activities in the curriculum, interdisciplinary activities, and we would celebrate this one day of the year. So throughout the whole year people were sort of exchanging ideas, and then for 24 hours there was like a coming together and people showing what they had produced. And this worked quite well. My students translated the site, which was in English, into French and into Portuguese, because we were home base of a bilingual for Portuguese countries and French countries. It was excellent because they had to do translation in their curriculum, and it was much better for them to translate something which made meaning, and their names went under it. So So it was revised by the French teacher, it was revised by the Portuguese teacher. So everybody was working in a different way, and this was really, really very helpful.
I'm sorry, can you just clarify? You may have said, it seems to me that most of your things are teacher managed. Would that be?
It was mostly then, yes, until 2003, yes, when I started blogging.
English as a language is very difficult to learn, particularly agreement between subject and verbs, adverbs, all of these things, sentence constructs and paragraphs. What I'm asking is, how do you evaluate the students when they use this project? Do you evaluate them by grammar, by just the ideas?
No, or? I've never taught like grammar separately, or, maybe for basic levels, but I'm teaching high school. So when they come into high school, there's a very good level of English, because I think that when you learn English as a second language, it is more difficult than if you learn it as a third or fourth language. When you have the experience of speaking different languages, it becomes easier. So at school, they are already bilingual when they start. They are Franco-Brazilian, and they have the third language is English, which comes when they are in fifth grade. And I get them when they've done four years of English. So they've done all that part of grammar and vocabulary and so on, and when they get into high school, we have revision of grammar, but I teach more as a content. So we discuss themes, and I just say, you know, try to make yourself understood, all right? And the assessment, let's say, will come in these projects, it will come from their production.
Back home in the Philippines, we have this problem with English because people are starting to use SMS messaging.
Yes.
When you use SMS messaging, the words become shorter and shorter, the constructs become more difficult, and sometimes it goes into the curriculum. Have you encountered such problems?
Day two. Yes, sorry.
It's actually morning tea time now. I think this is a fantastic conversation. I know that Roland Gesthuizen has also used open office with different languages here. So feel free to chat about this at morning tea, but I just thought you might like to know that that's...
Thank you, Janet. Yeah, I'll just answer here. Yes.
Sorry.
So your question was the SMS. Yeah, they use it, but I just tell them it's a different type of register. So, you know, if they're doing a composition, a formal composition, they cannot use this language. And if they are, I probably am also not using the correct register when I message, because I have no experience with mobiles. Alex knows about it. So I write full messages, and people just laugh because, I mean, you know, I spend half an hour there sort of trying to get my message across, and it just doesn't work. Yes?
Just following on from that,
here's
an experiment course. Instead of English itself, you know, we no longer use Shakespearean English.
Yeah. Well, thank you. Feel free to ask any questions, and well.